time I'd like to ask Clayton Hale if he'd lead us in a word of prayer.
Dear God in heaven, as we come to you this day, we're so thankful for the privilege of being here and being coming in this capacity. We just want to praise your name and we want to exalt you, but we also want to thank men for your service that they work and serve as church. Lord, we pray that everything that we do will be to honor and glorify you. Strengthen us and empower us to live our lives in a manner that will make a difference in this world. And Lord, we just love you and we want to praise you. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Norman, and thank you for being here this afternoon. I know a lot of people have busy Sundays, and I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy Sunday to join us for this very special occasion, not only in the lives of these men, but also in our church as we seek to ordain these men to the office of a deacon. There's only two offices found in the Word of God, and it's the office of a pastor and the office of a deacon. And it's just a neat day. Promised Land hasn't done this since 1979. And so it's been 30 years ago, and so I'm excited, and a lot of our church members are excited. So thank you, thank you, thank you for coming. I'm going to ask all the ordained deacons and pastors, preachers, to stand, and let's head toward the back. And Brother Don Kelly, if you could lead them, we're going to the choir room, or Brother Herbert, either one. And y'all just follow one of those two men, and we'll meet back there. They're going to be singing while we're meeting in the back.
Daddy talked about going home since I was just a babe on their knee. They said that nothing compared to what was waiting up there, how one day we would finally be free. Well, I've never seen it, but I keep on believing it will be a place like I've never known. I keep my eyes on the sky, 'cause my soul wants to fly. Lord, my heart is ready to go. I wanna know how it feels to make my way down the streets of gold. I wanna know how it feels to have a talk with the saints of old. I wanna know what it's like to rest my feet by the river of life. I've heard of heaven and I know that it's real. I wanna know how it feels. Sometimes I get weary from this life that I live. It seems that peace is something I'll never find. I try to lighten my load when all that I've got to show is 700 things on my mind. Oh, but I'm seeing visions of a crystal clear river where sin's forgotten without a trace. More than I've ever dreamed, my eyes long to see a look of love on my Savior's face. I wanna know how it feels to make my way down the streets of gold. I wanna know how it feels to have a talk with the saints of old. I wanna know what it's like to rest my feet by the river of life. I've heard of heaven and I know that it's real. I wanna know, I'm ready to know how it feels to make my way down the streets of gold. I wanna know how it feels to have a talk with the saints of old. I wanna know what it's like to rest my feet by the river of life. I've heard of heaven and I know that it's real. I'm Is this trial hanging like a cloud over you? I know you've endured for a while, and now you wonder how you'll get through. In the midst of the darkness, in the raging wind, you can find the strength to look to Him. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. He'll take you through the storm. Lift up your head, you can move on. Though your ship may be battered and worn, thunder may roll and the rain will pour down, don't be afraid, you are still safe and sound. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. He'll take you through the storm. For the Master still commands every wave. Every struggle has purpose, every storm has an end, and He will hold you steady till the end. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. He'll take you through the storm. Lift up your head, you can move on. Though your ship may be battered and worn, thunder may roll and the rain will pour down, don't be afraid, you are still safe and sound. Just keep your eyes on. He'll take you through the storm. When it feels like your heart has been stranded, when deep inside your spirit aches,
your spirit
remember He never abandons, no one of His own. You're a child of faith.
Just keep your eyes on Jesus.
He'll take you through every storm. Lift up your
head. Lift up your head. You can move on. Though your ship may be battered and worn.
Thunder may roll.
Thunder may roll.
the dark hills, the highways, the byways. He walks on the billows of life's troubled sea. He walks in the cold, dark shadows of midnight. God walks the dark hills to guide you and me. God walks the dark hills to guide my footsteps. He walks everywhere, by night and by day. He walks in silence on down the highway. God walks the dark hills to show me the way. God walks in the storm, the rain and sunshine. He walks in the shadows of glimmering light. He walks up the mountain so high, the rivers and valleys. God walks everywhere, for He loves you and me. God walks the dark hills to guide my footsteps. He walks everywhere, by night and by day. He walks in silence on down the highway. God walks the dark hills to show me the way. God walks the dark hills to show me the way.
Just in time to catch part of that. I'm going to ask now that Brother Norman Higginbotham would come read our minutes.
The presbytery met at Promised Land for the purpose of ordaining four new deacons. Brother Farrell Bashir is opening in a word of prayer. Brother Michael Reese was selected to moderate, and Brother Norman Higginbotham for clerk. Brother Herbert Wallace was selected to introduce the candidates. And Brother Don Justice was voted to give the ordination prayer. Brother Norvalee was voted to present the Bibles, and Brother Brees is to question the candidates.
Okay, church, this is for church members here at Promised Land to do this voting. There will be two votes here, and here to accept the reading of these minutes. What was the pleasure of the church concerning the reading of these minutes? Okay, you hear this motion second to accept the reading of these minutes. If there's no discussion, all in favor of this, let me know by saying aye. Any opposed? Okay, and the other vote will be after we question the candidates. And but right now we've got to introduce them. And while I'm going to ask all four of our candidates, not their wives yet, but all four of our candidates to come sit on the front pew, wherever they may be. Okay, y'all come grab a seat. Pen and piece of paper for your test. Okay. Okay, y'all. While I'm doing that, I left the certificates, which they're signed and everything except for the presbytery, and I need, they're laying on top of, Brother Casey, you'll do it for me. You're back there in the back. The four certificates on pieces of paper, you'll see them just, I think they're laid upside down on top of the piano in the choir room. And I appreciate it. Okay, but now it's Brother Herbert's turn. And I'm going to let him come talk about these fellows.
And my friend, I was given the authority by these guys here to tell all. But you know what? I said, we don't have that much time in the rest of the day. I'm probably not going to do anything but introduce you. It'd be just like introducing you to your mama. Brother Billy Don. Of course, I've been knowing most of these guys about all their lives. Billy Don Cecil, of course, he's the son of Patsy and Norvaly, who's been here forever in 2 days. And I'm thankful that he's a part of us now. Rodney Chapman, of course, Rodney's outsider. He moved in. But we still love him and still glad to have him here. Brother Jeff, you kind of outside. You moved in, too. But we're still glad to have you. Jeff Foster, of course, everybody here knows his relationship with most of these guys. But Ronnie Coulter, you're not really a transplant. You've been here most all your life. But we're glad to have you. All you guys, would you stand up and face the guys that's going to vote on you? These are our new candidates, folks. Now, thank you. You may be seated.
Amen. Okay. We have a small enough group. Tell you what we'll do. I don't mean to put you on the spot. But so you can stand right where you're at or wherever. You can come up here to the pulpit. And Brother Billy Don, you're first on the list. I think I did these in order, didn't I? Okay. Or else Miss Denise helped me. Okay. Well, she did help me with that. But I'd just like for you to just tell about, as the old minutes said back years and years ago, I remember reading them back in the turn of the 20th century, they said they had 20 or 30 people added to the church by experience of grace. And I said, what? I said, I never heard it put that way. But, of course, they was talking about when they got saved. And definitely when you get saved, it's an experience of grace. And so I'd just like you to tell everyone, share with everyone about when you got saved, and y'all can just pass it on down and share it with us.
Well, I was saved at church camp. And if I may be... I may not say it, but I would think it was 13 when I did. It's been so long, I can't remember what the date was. But I was saved at church camp, and I was saved at church camp, and have never really doubted it. At times I've had questions, but it was more questions of a different nature of sorts. I've always been in this church and always been around God's Word. And to me, I was always in my heart, in my head. And when I realized that I was lost, I accepted Christ as my Savior. And but I see these people that have come in that haven't been around it all their life. And when they do realize it, to me, when they've realized that they're lost, it's like a bigger step, and it's for them. And I've seen that through the years, and I wondered, and it's just the fact that I've always known Christ. I mean, when I realized I was lost, I was saved at that time. And I'll never know what it means to be out in the world as far as some people are and then to come in and be saved because I've always been around it. But my life as a Christian has always been here in this church. And I love this church. And that's my testimony.
I was saved, I was 15 years old at First Baptist Church, and the path to get there was a little different than most people. When I was 9, I walked the aisle, and little boy, and I finally came to the conclusion that I was not saved, and then we had a film one Sunday night. I guess it was designed to scare you into salvation, which may not be a bad thing, but that's kind of what it did to me. And I didn't feel like I had accepted Jesus. And then finally at age of 15, I went forward. I think there was several other kids went forward, and I remember the knelt down with Jack Carpenter and accepted Christ as my Savior. And I'm kind of like Billy Don. I've been shoosted to church all my life, and kind of humorously, when we were little, we always won the award for not missing any Sunday school and all that. My dad used to pop his head in my room and make sure I was reading my Bible, and that's something good. I guess maybe more teenagers need that kind of treatment these days. Maybe they would handle the problems that arise better than they do. And thank you.
I was here when Brother Sperling was preaching. I'm telling my age now. But anyway, he was preaching. You could feel the Holy Spirit touching my heart. And it was just after Bible school. And I was 10 years old. And when the altar was called, I was too scared to come forward. You know, I'd just like sit there and next time I'll do it. And it got to where God was dealing with me so strong that I was at home. I said, I knelt down, and of course I called my mom in her, and I said, I want to be saved. Of course, she couldn't help me, but she could just tell me, you know. And I was brought to church by my grandmother when I was 10, and I can't leave her out. But anyway, at 10 years old, I knelt beside the bed, and I said, and this is what I said, Lord, it says, I'm a sinner. Forgive me for my sins and save me from hell. And when I lay down on that bed, I could literally feel God moving in my heart. And I've never been burdened about salvation since. God has been on my heart about a lot of things before, you know, and he would chastise me when I was a teenager, and he'd
And you know, as growing up and God has led me, and of course all my Sunday school teachers has helped me, but you know, God has never burdened me after that. I know beyond of a doubt that I was saved right there and that night, and I thank the Lord for that, and I thank Promised Land Church for being a light, because you know, through the Holy Spirit and through His church, that's the reason I'm saved. And I thank for that. And that's my name.
Best for last.
No. When I was saved when I was 15, and I can remember it well. We were in revival at Snyder, and didn't go a whole lot, but my brother and my cousin come to me in our driveway. And the evangelist and the pastor that was at the church at the time was at my uncle's house. And they walked up to me and they told me that, do you know that if you died today that you'd probably go to hell? And it scared me. But I saw the excitement on their face because I thought, well, they've experienced something. You know, so they got me and we went over to my uncle's house and the evangelist and the pastor talked to me about where I was at spiritually, and of course I was lost. And I told them that. And they asked me a lot of questions and then I got to thinking, well, you know, this is something I really need to take care of. And I remember kneeling there at a footstool and praying and asking God to save me. And like Billy Don, there's been times in my life that I've kind of wondered about that, and then I always go back and I see the times that God has told me, hey, you know, you're going the wrong direction. And the only problem with when I was saved was that and part of this is probably was me, was when I left the doors of that church, nobody really told me what I had. And I had the greatest thing ever offered, you know. But through the years, I've learned, you know, what that sacrifice meant, you know, on that cross. But it took me a while. It took me a while to experience that. Even though I was a member, I think when I was 20 when I joined this church, Dina got me to go into church and go into Sunday school and BTC, and I got to experiencing those things, and I thought, wow, you know, there's a lot to this. But I kept going back and thinking about the day that I walked out of that church, and nobody explained that to me. So I got this burden on my heart that, you know, but I can do something about that. So I began trying to teach our teenagers and our young kids about salvation and what it really means. And sometimes I get through to them, sometimes I don't. But the only thing that they nearly need to see is the excitement in us as Christians and knowing that there's more to it than just saying, well, you know, God saved me. There's a whole lot more to that. And that's what has really pushed me mostly about teaching is because there's so many out there that really don't realize what they've got or what they can have. And it's what we call true joy. And it's the only thing that God can offer us through that is true joy. And we can have happiness in anything, but to have true joy, you know, that comes from God and that comes through that salvation. But a lot of people to think, you know, my mom, she raised me to try to do right. And she couldn't always keep her finger on me, but now I see that, you know, it's important to obey. And now, you know, I can obey God and try to do His will and try to be a good steward for Him. All right, and I do thank this church for what it's meant, what it means to me, and what it's done for me in my life. Thank you.
Okay. Now for the questioning of the candidates. And these gentlemen. Brother Billy Don, do you believe in the inspiration of the entire Bible? Okay. Brother Rodney, do you believe in the Trinity of the Godhead?
Yes.
Okay. Brother Jeff, do you believe in the Genesis account of creation? Let me go ahead and preface before I continue, Brother Ronnie, the definition of soteriology. He'll have that in just a second. I'm just kidding. That's the study of salvation, if you want to know. But these questions are not meant really for a test of their. Or we wouldn't be ordaining them right now if we had any question about they don't have to be Greek scholars or Bible experts. It's their heart. Let me go ahead and say this. I was going to write this down and say it before my message. I'm going to say it now while I'm questioning them. I remember my very first, 4 years ago, my very first vacation Bible school here at Promised Land. And we were wrapping it up. Had the closing program on Friday night. And I remember seeing these four guys, plus a lot of others, that were, nobody asked them to. They just started picking up, cleaning up, and putting up. They were basically being a servant to the church. And there's lots of other things. And little examples, just things behind the scenes. A servant to the church. One of the physical needs of the church was needed in Acts chapter 6. And they elected men full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom to carry out the physical need of the church. And it doesn't mean they have to be full of knowledge, wisdom, just in a servant's heart. And so, again, the reason for these questions is more or less just a confirmation, not a test. But anyway, Brother Ronnie, do you believe that Satan, I'm going to put it in country boy language, do you believe that Satan is the bad guy? The Bible calls him the father of lies and the tempter of mankind. I'm going to go back down the line. Brother Ronnie, do you believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ? Brother Jeff, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Okay. Brother Rodney, do you believe that the Holy Spirit is our guide and convictor of sin in the world today? Okay. Brother Billy Don, do you believe that we are created in the image of God? That's right. We didn't come from monkeys. Okay. All right. Brother Billy Don, do you believe that Jesus Christ's death on the cross of Calvary and his resurrection was all that's needed for the salvation of mankind? Okay. That's true. Brother Rodney, do you believe that Jesus Christ is coming again?
Yes.
Okay, when? That's a trick question. Okay. That's, you know, when if you might know when the rapture is, you can share it with us. Okay. That's, I didn't mean to throw him off. He's like, he thought I really was serious. Okay. As was just stated, Brother Jeff, Jesus Christ died and 3 days later rose again. He said, "It is finished," on the cross of Calvary. And we ask everybody this before they get saved. And that is, do you believe that we are all sinners before a holy God. Okay, that's right. We're all sinners. Brother Ronnie, do you believe that we can lose our salvation? Okay. Brother Ronnie, if someone dies without Christ, can they go to heaven? No, they can't. Brother Jeff, do you believe in a literal heaven and a literal hell? They're real places, not made up. Brother Rodney, do you believe that the institution of the local New Testament church is our organization for worshiping and serving God? Okay. Brother Billy Don, do you believe that the Great Commission is our church's command to go into all the world and preach the gospel? Okay, that's right. Let's see, and three more. Brother Rodney, do you believe that there are only two offices in a local church, and that is of a pastor and a deacon? Okay. Brother Jeff, is there any organization, government, or company that is more important or higher in authority than a local New Testament church? That's right. And finally, Brother Ronnie, do you believe that we, unless providentially hindered, should come to church or every time the doors are open? Amen. Amen, church. Well, first of all, before I ask the church, I need to ask the presbytery, does the presbytery have any other questions for the candidate? Right. We did the local New Testament church, but I didn't do the Lord's Supper. I forgot that one. Let me ask y'all this. The Lord's Supper consists of two elements. Brother Rodney, what are those two elements? Two things that we use to do the Lord's Supper. All right, the bread and the fruit of the vine. And let me ask y'all this, along those same lines. Brother Jeff, do you have to be baptized to be saved? Okay. Brother Rodney, do you have to take the Lord's Supper to be saved? Yeah, I mean, Rodney, I get this. R's and my C's and all that mixed up. And is there, speaking of being a local assembly, Brother Billy Don, is there any other, a church is a local assembly, this local assembly here. Can a church tell another church what to do? That's right. Each church is independent. Man, I'm glad you thought about that. I think I skipped right over some good questions. Does the presbytery have any other?
The only one I have is, what's their opinion of their responsibility to this church? And what is their opinion of their responsibility to you as a pastor?
That's a good question. Okay. And we'll go on down the line. And just in a few words, Brother Billy Don, what do you think your responsibilities to in the office of a deacon, your responsibilities to the church and whomever your pastor may be?
Church to ask and be a help to
help to the pastor. Okay. You hear this, Brother Rodney, and any other words to add to that? Along that same line, a lot of the church and set all this election up by a lot of prayer and a lot of messages from the pulpit. And I thank the Lord that God's blessed our services and our church and our votes. Well, let me ask you this, Brother Jeff, a pointed question about the duties of a deacon. Brother Jeff, do the deacons run the church? Okay. Along those same lines, that's a another good question, Brother Clayton. Brother Ronnie, if the deacons don't run the church, then they tell the pastor what to do. Oh, okay. All right. Okay. No, that's some good questions. Any others? Well church, does the church, speaking of Promised Land, does the church, Promised Land, have any questions for our candidates? If not, then, Presbytery, I need a motion second to accept these candidates for candidates.
We recommend to the church that they continue with the service.
Second.
Motion second from the Presbytery to continue with the service. All in favor? Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Church, you've heard the recommendation of the Presbytery that these men are qualified, and their recommendation to you is we continue with the service. So, church, what's your pleasure? And there's a second. Any question? Okay. All of Promised Land, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Now for a song.
Give up and do.
to them.
I know you don't want to, but this was done to a lot of preachers and deacons' wives, and I promise I won't be long. I know the pastors that are here said that... Oh, we have one more special. Okay. If I don't write it down, what would I do without a pastor's wife? And, okay. Grace has one more special. I'm sorry. I think, yeah. Oh, there they come.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like
Certificates for the deacons, and they've been candidates for a while. We set them aside and also signed on the back by all the men on the presbytery. I was on the presbytery, but I signed on the front as your pastor. And it was brought to my attention that four of our deacons, Brother Bobby's deceased, but gone on to be with the Lord. But they didn't get any certificates, and so church will remedy that. I wish I'd known at the appreciation banquet but anyway, the songs were good. I appreciate so much your time coming this afternoon. I know that some of our pastors may have to leave. I don't think I'm going to preach that long, and so I do have a few words to share from God's Word. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open the book of Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, you got that big old new Bible, and I'm going to talk to these deacons' wives, and I know that they may not want to be called that, but it's just to love and support their husband as he loves and serves the Lord. And we'll talk about that in just a second. And there was some that said that they may have to leave in a little while, and I understand because there's things going on. I thank everyone again so much for your busy afternoon. I know I'm right in the middle of your nap. I'll try to keep you awake. And I know we snooze a little bit over at the house and have an afternoon cup of coffee. So I'll try to keep it lively as I can. Joshua chapter 1. And I've entitled the message simply this: The Secret to Your Success. The Secret to Your Success. Joshua is about to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. And Moses has died. The children of Israel are looking to him. It's a change of leadership in the time of Israel. They're missing their former leader. And he's trying to, if you will, to get, he's on up in years. He's wandered around with his fellow citizens for 40 years in the wilderness, and he simply says this in Joshua chapter 1, verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe all to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And here is the secret to being a successful deacon or church member. First of all, very easy, and that is this. Matthew 22 and verse 37. I'll tell you what, we'll go ahead and turn over there, but it's what we call the Great Commandment, which is this: to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's found in Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40. Well, let me just talk about those real quick. If you love the Lord God with all your heart, that'll take care of a lot of problems. It'll take care of a lot of problems in your marriage. It'll take care of a lot of problems in your church. And it'll take care of a lot of problems in your life. To love God, as I put it here in my outline, to love God with everything you've got. To love Him with everything you've got. Well, the second part is to love your neighbor as yourself. And you know what that means? There's going to be some people that look at deacons different. You know why? Because it's like this. Sometimes our traditions become our doctrine. Some people think that a deacon runs the church. And it has come to that in some churches. But he doesn't. Matter of fact, it goes against everything the Bible teaches about deacons. Deacons are to be the leading servant. The one who says, I don't need the credit and the glory. Everything about my life and about this church should give God the glory. I don't get the credit and anything. Some people, listen to this, even look at deacons' wives, they say, well, your husband's a deacon, get some pull. Don't you have any pull in that church? Your husband's a deacon. And like that's got some pull or something. Well, that, and then you say, well, my husband's just a servant. And he serves the church and the Lord. And you see, there's a difference. And what you're saying is, basically now, when you become a deacon, you say, I'll go last. And I'll let everybody go in front of me. The Bible says many that are last in heaven will be first. And it's because you know why? They had the heart of a servant. They said, I prefer other people. The Bible says this, Philippians, Ephesians. I prefer others ahead of myself. That means other people's needs, other people's wishes, other people's desires. Most of these things have nothing to do. And of course, these guys, I have no doubts about their stand for the Word of God. Now, the second thing, the first thing, the secret to your success is love God with everything you've got. The second thing is this, very, very important, and that's to love your wife and your family with everything you've got. Okay, now I haven't talked to the wives yet, but I'll get there. Okay. And this includes what I call tough love. To love your family, your wife and your family, with everything you've got. Now, recently, there was a movie that many have seen and we've shared in this church. It's called Fireproof. Basically, it was a scriptural movie about strengthening marriages. And if you're married or thinking about getting married and you haven't seen it, I encourage you to get it. buy it, watch it at home. In that movie, a man said this, "I choose to love my wife even when she's unlovable." To love her. And guess what? The vice versa, too. The wives have to love the husband even though they're unlovable. But you do it because the Bible teaches that love is a choice. And there's some people in this church, I guarantee you, these eight people up here, there's somebody out here that you just don't jive with. I guarantee you, it's true with men and with women. It doesn't matter. I think that covers all of us, okay? There's some, and we just don't click with them. I mean, I don't, whether it be, you call it chemistry or whether you call it just getting along, the Bible says you still have to love them. And loving your family first, that I'm going to be committed to my wife no matter what. Some people, now I'm going to say this right here, and you may disagree with me, that's fine. But some people say they love their spouse, no matter what, I love you until death do us part. But there comes a point in time that something may happen that they choose not to love their spouse. The Bible says we need to love them anyway. You know, the Bible says this. I'm going to give you, for instance, I'm going to move on to point three. Well, what if your spouse cheated on you? Do I still love them? The Bible says you should. Now, yes, I know the Bible allows for the divorce for adultery. It does. The Bible also says this, because of the hardness of their hearts, He allowed it. But I have seen myself with my own eyes, couples work things out, even though, hey, have you been 100% faithful to God since He's became your Heavenly Father? None of us have. Yeah, we expect the same thing out of our spouse. I expect my spouse to be 100% faithful to me. Yet sometimes we're not faithful to the Lord that way. But, you know, let me ask you this. Did He stop loving you? Did He stop loving you even though you were unfaithful to Him at some point in time in your life? Hey, I guarantee you, every one of y'all could, and don't start getting your pen and piece of paper out, but y'all could make a list of everything wrong with these eight people up here. Don't get your pen and paper out. I mean, y'all, we could just list, but folks, you can find things wrong with me too. There's nobody perfect. And these men were set aside by the church as the candidates. And folks, by the way, guess what? Did y'all know there's plenty of men in our church that do the work of a deacon but don't have the piece of paper? They do, but you know why? Because their heart's right. They love the Lord. And they don't do it for credit or for glory. And just because they get a piece of paper and an honor of a title doesn't change anything. They have no more credit, no more worth before God. This is an honorable position, really, of responsibility and rather than authority. Let me go ahead and say this before I leave. The Bible says this, that the wife should, and this reverence means to put before the Lord. It also says in the King James Bible, to submit yourselves unto your husband. That just means follow him as he follows the Lord, under his leadership. And then it turns right around and it says the husband should love your wife with everything you've got. Biggest thing you can do, listen, all four of you, Billy Don, Rodney, Jeff, Ronnie, pray with your wife. Pray with you. It's been a while. This morning, Karen and I prayed together. Had a word of prayer together. We don't do it often enough. I'm not perfect, and neither is Karen. Pray with your spouse. Out loud. And all of y'all out there listening to me, if you're still married or if your spouse is still living, pray with your spouse. Pray with them. You know why? Because you need to, and also because you love them. To love the next thing is to love the Word of God with everything you've got. Now, I won't ask you to turn over there. I'll just quote these real quick. In Psalms 119:11, it says this, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." It's important. We do that. All four of these men up here work either with the young people or teach a class at our church. All four of these men work with our young people or teach a class or both. And that is so awesome. Maybe Awana, maybe Sunday school, or whatever. All four of these men. A lot of times, these four men don't come to my Wednesday night classes. They're over there in Awana working or whatever the class may be. The Bible says in Psalms 119:105, it says this, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." I don't know what it is about men and flashlights. I don't know if you're a typical man, but most men love flashlights. Matter of fact, the brighter it is, the better. And flashlights. That's good. I love a good flashlight. Don't like to be in the dark. The Bible is your light. And if you want to be a good example, you'll hide it in your heart and stand firm on it. Next, and next to last, is to love the church you're a member of, because I don't know if the Lord may move y'all somewhere. Some of these folks here in Promised Land come from somewhere else. To love the church you're a member of with all your heart, with everything you've got. The Bible says in John 15, it says this, that if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And he was talking to the disciples and the church that they were a member of. Jesus, the Bible says in Acts 20:28, that Jesus purchased the church with his precious blood. Ephesians 3:21, unto him be glory in the church. Church. Okay, well, while I'm at it, keep y'all about another 10 minutes or so. Talk loud enough for that microphone to hear me.